Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
Life is full of personal wins, whether it's cleaning your house, getting that dream car, or checking off your to-do list. Winning at life is a great feeling. And with the State Farm Personal Price Plan, you can keep winning when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling home and auto. So give yourself a round of applause. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Welcome to an important sounding number of the Nerdist podcast.
What's the number?
500.
500!
Bruce Gutter!
Hello.
I'm so glad we got every one of our characters back for the 500th episode. We got Bruce Gutter.
Yes, indeed. It's not cheap.
And then that's where all the money went.
Yes. Oh, no, this guy does it for free.
Yeah, what up, pussy talking Jonah right here.
Hey, where's all the cocaine and pussy? I've stumped you.
Hold on, let me separate my vocal cords and do them both at once.
Tell him.
It's in the back, dog, where your ass
it's
is.
It's in the back. You're just trying to.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah, it's in her butt.
Now, I know. I know that some people might be disappointed that there's not like a super mega special for the 500th episode. And what I would say to that is it's not that we don't care, but we really, really just have enough time to make the three episodes a week that we put out. And so, you know. But I please know that 500 is a huge milestone for us, and we absolutely appreciate that. If you're a longtime listener, or if you've just joined us, or whatever, it, you know, the fact that I still when I thought in the first week, like, we're gonna run out of people for this podcast like in a month, and that we're at episode 500, and there are still people that I'm super excited that I can't believe we like that guy, and I can't believe we got to do this. And
only a few repeats.
Yeah, only a handful of repeats.
Yeah.
Like this episode, this
yes,
one.
Exactly. Yeah. If you are just joining us, let's catch you up. A long time ago, Chris had a pilot at E that didn't get picked up. It kind of bummed him out, and then he decided to start a podcast with me, Jonah Ray, and our friend that works at a Mac store. A lot of has happened since then.
Then a bunch of stuff happened, and here we are.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep. We're exactly the same place we were before. I'm still not doing a show at E. Matt's the tech guy for the podcast.
And I'm working at a Mac store.
It's so weird.
Yeah, so that's
I went Windows. So, anyway, thank you so much for listening to 500 episodes of the Nerdist Podcast. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Silicon Valley, which is a new HBO comedy series from Mike Judge. It premieres Sunday, April 6th at 10 p.m. This is a very important show, particularly to us, because all of our friends are on it.
I've seen the first two episodes. It is great.
How could it not be great? I mean,
yeah.
Taking Mike Judge's brain and then you know, like running the Silicon Valley through the Mike Judge filter, and then you have T.J. Miller and Martin Starr,
Thomas Middleditch,
Kumail and Kumail Nanjiani, from the Comedy Central show Meltdown
with Jonah and Kumail.
Yeah, Kumail Nanjiani presents Meltdown.
Kumail Down.
Tonight's guests, Jonah Ray.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but you know. Good comedy is so important to me because it's so hard to catch it the right way.
Yes.
And I am so excited and thrilled and proud for the show and all of our friends on it. So please, please, please watch Silicon Valley Sunday, April 6th at 10 p.m. on Home Box Office.
It is very good. It's not TV. It's Home Box Office.
It's HBO. I still have like
television is Home Box Office.
You know, sometimes I will watch like the old YouTube videos of the old HBO, like when a movie was starting, like da na 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 oh my god, this one's got nudity. Whoa. But you're just like, I mean, and I remember, I love that opening so much. I remember watching the special of how it was made.
Yeah.
Of like the giant HBO letters and how they made it fly through space. I always
went over the neighborhood.
That to me instantly makes me feel like I'm at home on like a Friday or a Saturday night and it's a weekend and I have off from school and I just feel this real sense of like, I'm cozy.
Yeah.
I'm about to watch 48 Hours or Caddyshack or some fucking movie that I love.
I know, any of the movies that would just constantly repeat all the time.
I watched all of them every time.
Every time.
So this episode of the podcast, Adam Carolla returns to the podcast with a very, very, very important situation that affects all of us as podcasters and you, the audience. there are some patent trolls who are trying to take over podcasting with a modified definition of a patent in this podcaster's opinion, and they are actually suing Adam Carolla, and they're trying to they've sent letters to a bunch of podcasts and saying, like, essentially the shorthand of it, my interpretation is, hey, we own the patent for podcasting. We're happy to let you continue podcasting for a small fee. And so it's kind of a, from my vantage point, kind of a gross business
that they're
undertaking by going after not like big companies, but just dudes, just people. We talk a lot about this with Adam, and it's actually, you know, every time Adam's been on, it's, you know, there's been a lot of fucking around, but this is more serious, and with your, you know, like a handful of wiener jokes, but Adam is promoting his fundanything.com campaign to help defeat the patent trolls because the legal process is very expensive, and this is what patent trolls rely on, is that it's going to be too expensive for you to fight, so you just pay up. So feels like extortion to me. I mean, but
George,
I'm not going to say that it is or not, but it just feels that way to me. But, you know, I...
That's some bullshit.
It is some bullshit. So here we go. The Nerds Podcast, episode number 500.
Jesus.
Oh, I know, right?
It's weird.
It is weird. Yeah. That would be episode L to any Romans listening.
Yo, where my Romans at?
Yo. They're in the back.
No, they're at the boot.
It was, is L 50 or is D 500? I think L might be 50. Looking up things and phrase. 500 is D. Or D. If you're a Roman.
You gotta leave all that other stuff in there.
Yeah, as well. Just let that right in. just,
that's right. And with confidence. D.
D. Yeah. D. For D 500 episodes.
Oh, it's a good a pizza pie.
It's a good a pizza pie. It's a D 500 episodes. Or as the Romans would say, D 500 episodes.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Never tells anyone about anything.
You probably know a million times. You'll show up and then people are go, this is happening. You're like, when? Wow.
So
okay.
It's more that, and then there's a lot of like, what? We never heard of you're doing what?
What I'm finding is that as the organization gets bigger, some things just happen and you're like, oh, we're doing that? Like, you just get surprised by your own operation.
Well, then a lot of people say to you, oh, no, we told you. And you go, you did? And I go, no, you didn't. I go, and then I always go, what did I do? And they went, you just, you nodded and said, good. And I'm like, okay.
In fact, you said it was your idea.
Yeah.
No, I don't know if I did.
I always say to people, why am I acting surprised now then? If that was something. Like if I ordered a Diablo sandwich I wouldn't be surprised if it showed up at my table.
Of course, yeah, exactly.
So the fact that I'm surprised means I probably didn't order it, but anyway, sorry.
You ordered this. I did.
I did?
Yeah, oh, you ordered it like 2 weeks ago.
Absolutely.
And here's your sandwich now. I ordered the sandwich, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Welcome to the body. But this is your third or fourth time? Fourth.
Three and a half.
Three and a half. Yeah, because you were on our second episode, maybe. You like it goes way back. And you know Katie Levine because she used to work for you.
That's right. Known as Blaster Girl from back in the day.
I didn't know she had a nickname.
Oh, yeah.
Where did Blaster Girl come from?
She used to do a lot of porn, and she took a lot of hits, you know, in the upper... Anyway, you know what? She works here. Turn the page, I always say. You know, let her start new. And I know with the internet and everything, it's hard to forget about the past. And obviously, you can look it up.
Well, Kyle can tell you about the past. I mean, Kyle has a much darker past.
No, he's loved and lost.
I mean, look at him. Look at those eyes. You can see you're just staring into the abyss of emptiness.
Now, they say, like, when Robert Shaw was talking about a shark having doll's eyes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's what Kyle has.
That's what Kyle has. Right before they bite, they just roll back. Yeah. You got that, man.
The only way we can kill Kyle is if we can get him to jump up and chomp onto some electrical wires. Was that Jaws 2? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
2 was a little less...
He's going to give me a bite of buoy and then shoot.
And then that's... Now how are we going to get you to bite a buoy if you already know it's coming?
I know your plan.
Yeah. So we just have to disguise the buoy...
Yeah.
Let me say this, thinking about all that, you know, superheroes and James Bond and everything. Like, let's just say you had a power, like a really powerful jaw.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I still don't feel like if you were locked out of your car, you would try to eat your way into the car. You still call AAA. Like,
yeah, wouldn't exactly.
You?
Yeah.
Like, I skip rope really well. But if I have a problem, I don't introduce my rope.
Well, you know I think what I'm it depends saying? On how long you're waiting for AAA before you're like, well, just bite my
I
way
just
in.
Just eat my way in. But yeah. I'm just saying, like, every superhero premise, whether you can stretch out or set yourself on fire run a million miles an hour, the remedy to whatever the situation is I'm going to run a million miles an hour.
That's right.
But maybe it's just... You gave your girlfriend herpes because you were dating somebody else. How is you running a million miles an hour going to really impact that?
Well, you know what I'm saying? Away from the situation, and then you won't have to deal with it. Because much like, you know, a dog doesn't make eye contact with you and it thinks you can't see it if it can't see you, it's the same kind of thing. You just run a million miles an hour or stretch away from the situation.
I'm just saying it's kind of convenient that everybody who has a superpower, it's used. Like,
great power comes great responsibility. Those aren't my words. Those are Uncle Ben's.
But what I'm saying is, you know, if you really look at most of the problems you're going to see in your life, like you're going to be audited by the IRS, would really you having the ability to stretch really far, would that work?
Yeah, it's because you're stretching the budgets. You're stretching the...
Yeah, so now you're getting into symbolism. I'm just saying...
You're stretching the write-offs.
But what I'm saying, like, Jaws...
The IRS guy would be like, your tax return is even more of a stretch than that.
If you were Jaws from not the movie, but Jaws from
the Bond.
Bond movies, and you're up on a funicular and there was a cable, I would feel like an acetylene cutting rig or a hacksaw or a sawzall would be better for cutting through the cable than chewing through it. Even if I had, like, superhuman chewing... strength. I would use it for meat that was overcooked other challenges that.
Or you could, you know, go on the Food Network and be like, I'll eat any food. I'll chew any food in half.
I would probably do the geek circuit with like Jim Rose.
You mean the literal geek? You mean like from its root word geek, like circus freak?
Yeah. I'm old school.
Yeah,
I mean this. I'm the same with queer. By the way, I mean it is weird, not
in a disparaging way. Well, mm-hmm. I think if you did have that power, then like some kind of really cool techno circus where you're biting the heads off robotic chickens would be something.
I could see that on Spike. I was FXXX presents
Robotic Chicken Geeks
brought to you by Jim Rome and Captain Morgan Rum. Oh, I mean,
fuck
Jim
yeah,
Rose.
That's a chicken. Yeah. Bite it in half. Kept sailing with the captain.
Jim Rose He used to do the crazy circus, like, yeah, freak Rose, show, so, yeah, sideshow.
The incredible Mr. Lifto, the guy who would lift up anything with his dick.
Right.
The guy would attach like a 50-pound weight to his dick and then lift it off the ground, and you would see it stretch, much like that guy in the IRS sketch we were doing a second ago.
Sure.
And then you would be horrified.
I did a gig with the band Korn. In like Fresno once. Yeah, a million years ago. And Jim Rose was there too. And I was having a quiet one-on-one with Jim Rose in like the loading dock of this, Music Plus Tower record store, whatever, in Fresno, where Korn was there signing a million CDs. And I said to him, "How often do you tour?" And he said, I tour like, 250 days out of the year.
Jesus
and I
Christ.
Said, that's gotta be tough on your family, right? And he said, no. My wife, she goes, she travels with me. And I said, I guess that's good. Yeah, my wife and kids come with me. I said, oh, that's good. And then he said, she's part of the act, you know? And I said, oh, what does she do? And he said, she shoots fire out of her vagina. And I was like, I was in like one of those, oh, well, there you go.
And then occasionally a couple kids.
Yeah, occasionally a kid come flying out.
Yeah.
And I thought, how pissed is her gynecologist? Like, you know what I mean? Because like your gynecologist would be like, look, you're eating too many yeasty foods and you got to, you know, you got to start using cotton panties. I know you think that Lycra ones are cool, but it needs to be, but shooting fire out of your vagina, so it's got to be a lot of head shaking going on.
This is crazy. Have you felt, has there been any fire near your, I mean, I don't know why there would be, but I'm just asking.
Some charring down around your pelvic area.
This is what I would call, like, well done. This is not medium rare or even.
Your vagina smells like, you know, that on the 5th of July when you come across a Piccolo Pete and you smell it and it's a kind of weird sulfury burnt smell. Your vagina smells like that.
You know little piece of hamburger that fell under the grating?
It gets caught
down there and then you got to write it off.
That smell, yeah.
Does this seem familiar to you in any way? Why would you?
Smokey the Bear's asked some pretty, what I would call intrusive questions about your genitalia. Does this sound familiar?
I gotta say, I like if we're recasting the sketch, I like Smokey the Bear as her gynecologist.
Only you cannot
light your vagina.
Although
on
I feel
fire.
Like you have to put the shovel down. Because I feel like any gynecologist.
That's his way, that's all he knows.
But that big spade shovel.
You know what?
We switched to a flathead.
I gotta call you out on this. You're being very critical of a bipedal sentient bear to put the shovel down. Like, just let him do the job that he has. The way he knows how.
I'm saying the speculum is enough, Katie. I think you back me up. When the guy shows up with the weird,
I think it's actually it's Smokey's brother, Snizzy the Bear.
Snizzy,
who is like, no, that's my brother. I went into obstetrics. He's outdoorsy, and I just like looking at pussies.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that's right.
This is why yes, I still use the shovel, but I also
We have another brother who plays bass in the Hair Bear Bunch, by the way.
We kind of wrote him off.
So there's a lot of diversity.
A lot of drugs there.
We're really sort of like, the Einstein family, and I'm talking about Albert Brooks and... Super Dave, and then his brother runs one of the biggest advertising firms
in
the world.
They're all geniuses.
A lot of range, though, in their genius. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Snizzy.
Snizzy the Bear. They look identical, though. You wouldn't know. I mean, you might.
Well, that's the problem.
Yeah.
But don't think Snizzy hasn't gotten laid a few times doing, like, only you.
Not
can
in the office, though, because he does have a code of conduct. He has a code of conduct. So he
that's
wouldn't
right.
do it with one of his patients.
No, not while they were,
But he's not above, putting on the Ranger hat and going out and,
Sure. When he's traveling, he never doesn't leave without
probably
the Ranger hat.
Probably fucked a couple
hat.
Of those Charmin bears, too. Those ones are always shitting in the woods. Yeah.
By the way,
so much Charmin bear pussy for Snizzy the Bear.
How quilted does the thing you wipe your ass with need to be? Like, just how comfortable?
Especially when you're shitting out chunks of human like those bears? Probably very quilted.
Oh, it's a good point.
Like down quilted almost.
Well, yeah. You're eating basically, you know, either just salmon plucked straight from the stream, or a guy with huge calves and a ponytail who used to be your best friend and his girlfriend.
You got to digest his watch. He probably has a real outdoorsy.
And I'll bet you he has a kind of watch that was still working after it was shit out. Like, it's that good. As a matter of fact, if I was the guy who manufactured that watch, that would be my argument. Like, listen, other guys are bragging that they can, you know, scuba dive down to 100 leagues.
Yeah.
We were eaten by a bear and then shit out.
Still working.
Months later, just found the in the woods and still works.
Held up. Yeah. Snoozy the bear.
I think it would.
He's a doctor, but ultimately he's still a bear and you can't, you know.
Right.
He keeps it out of the office, but still. I'm horrified by the bears who are shitting in the woods and wiping their asses with toilet paper and seem to derive way too much pleasure. No human should derive that much pleasure from wiping shit off their ass.
No, and I've never felt like I was that uncomfortable. Like, and I feel like I've wiped my ass with, you know, pages from Thomas Guides and...
Okay. Well, that's what you can do with them now.
Yeah, now that's really all you can do with them. But, I mean, yeah, you pick a part of
Pacoima.
You pick a part of the San Fernando Valley. You're like, I don't know anyone, and God forbid I ever go to this place ever again. I'll just I'll get 11 pages out of this shit, literally.
Anywhere G7 to F4 is just ruined.
You sunk my battleship.
I don't. Maybe it's because bears are so used to wiping their asses on trees. That anything that's not bark is pleasurable.
I don't feel like I've ever seen bear shit. I've said many times, here's some kind of phenomenon. I get bird shit on my car all the time, but I've never seen squirrel shit in my life. I've never seen a squirrel taking a shit, and I've never stepped in squirrel shit. And I've never been sitting under a tree parked and went, oh, God damn it, squirrel
shit. I see what
shit.
You're getting at. Squirrels are robots put here by the government. You got to bite those shits off in the Jim Rose circus.
That's right. That's what I'm saying is, like, I've seen almost every time you, take a rabbit. I've seen 9 rabbits in my life, and every time they've been shitting.
That's a very exact number. That's a very exact number of rabbits that you know you've seen.
I'm not rounding up. You know, I refuse to round up on my rabbits. If I see a 10th, I'll tell you. But I've seen 9, and I've seen them
just
shit within the first 3 seconds.
Pellets.
I've seen them.
Yeah.
I've seen 200,000 squirrels in my life.
I've never thought about that. I've never seen a squirrel shit.
Shit. And then the other day... Tell me what you guys think about this. I was walking around through the hills of Hollywood. And I have those fire trails and stuff, and they go all the way up and down and through Burbank and Glendale and everything. And I was walking my dog Molly, and my dog Molly took a shit. I was walking with my daughter and my dog, so I got down to start cleaning up Molly's shit. And while I was cleaning up my dog shit, I stepped in horse shit. And I thought, oh yeah, these are horse trails. And then I went, wait a minute. How come horses get to shit wherever they want?
Because they shit bigger than anyone.
And they shit bigger than anyone, and they shit with impunity.
Yeah.
And you get to ride them, and they get to shit. I walk next to my dog, and I have to clean up its shit.
That's
like,
right.
If I rode my dog, I think I'd feel much better about cleaning up its shit every once in a while. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if you're paying for gas, you don't want to run alongside your car.
Yeah.
You want to drive it, right?
Well,
so you not only get to ride this beast, but this beast shits with impunity, and it's the biggest shit there is, and it falls right on the ground. And then I thought, why not? Why in a world filled with regulations, especially California, why not that doggy bag that hangs on the back of the horses that go through Central Park?
Why not hop up? Well, listen, I'm sure you enjoy money, and this is an opportunity for you to create. No one has made the please curb your horse sign yet.
That's right.
That's the giant, you know, to let people know that this is what you're supposed to do.
I always thought if I had a Pegasus, I would shit on people's houses that I didn't like.
Of course,
like,
you would.
But I mean, from like 2,000 feet, and I mean, it would crush their car hood and stuff.
It's like a fucking shit asteroid.
Like literally coming through the roof, through the ceiling, into the basement, you know?
Yeah.
And then, like, later on, they'd be like, Corolla, your Pegasus shit on my house again. And I'd be like,
You'd think
not
you'd,
mine.
You'd think you'd do something.
Not me.
You would deny. You think
I'd
you would do something good for the society with that Pegasus, but you just.
Well, I would start that way, but eventually I would, you know, feed him like, you know, Navy beans and Pepsi, and I'd go find my enemies, and I'd just go shit on their car.
You would own everyone from the air with
right.
your Pegasus,
and it'd be funny too, because like if you and I ever got in like a verbal disagreement, I'd be like, "We still driving that Acura?" And you'd be like, "What? Whoa!" And I, "Yeah, me and Raffles. Sometimes I see it when I'm about 2,000 feet in the air." And he'd be like, "Listen, I'm sorry, okay? I'm sorry. Whatever." I'd have everyone at my fucking beck and call.
But you'd have to practice though, because you'd have to. First of all, you would have to get the Pegasus to shit on command. That's a whole series of. That's a whole separate
mm-hmm.
training.
Mm-hmm.
Then you would have to aim properly.
Yeah, and you'd have to count for if you're going 30 knots or whatever, and you're 2,000 feet in the air. That shit. Going to carry a city block before it makes contact.
Was there an old mechanical game when we were kids that was sort of like a dive bomb game where it
yeah.
was like, and then you would
right.
drop the bombs in the
right.
holes.
It would like carry. Yeah, I mean it's as old as you know every war. I mean you know it's that thing of you're trying to bomb. You know, Berlin, and you're trying to do it from 30,000 feet, and you
yep.
got to know when to let the things go because
yep.
you want to hit the ball bearing factory. And I don't know why ball bearings were so important back then. But anyway, the thing would carry 30 miles in the air and it ended up landing in a lake,
yep.
you know, or in an orphanage or a nunnery or something. And so I wouldn't want that for Raffles. You know,
is Raffles the Pegasus name?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's ironic.
Yeah, it is.
You know what I mean? 'Cause it seems like it'd be a small dog. That's why. That's Raffles? That's everyone to start laughing. Oh, my God.
I thought Raffles was like a Jack Russell Terrier. This is a full-blown Pegasus.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that means that there are Pegasi now.
Right.
And you've named yours Raffles.
Yeah. And like I said, I wouldn't overtly threaten people, but I'd just be like, you got the 07 Lexus?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Whatever you say is right. I don't
yeah.
want to argue. I don't want to argue.
Huh.
Whose house
would
you...
Shame you don't have that out today in any indoor covered parking.
Whose Pegasus, whose house would you shit on, would Raffles shit on first?
I think I would find those patent trolls that are suing me out in Texas and shit on their cars.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes.
Yes. Well, it's. I'm glad that we did a
smooth,
weavy, twisty, turny, smooth transition. A dive bomb into the next topic, if you will, worthy of Raffles.
Mm.
Him, herself.
Yeah. No, it's a he.
Okay. But yeah, this is a very serious thing that's happening in our world that some patent trollery has gone after podcasting now, which is a really strange. It's a strange industry to be attacking because normally the patent trolls, from what I understand, will go after very large companies
mm-hmm.
and they get these sort of retroactive patents
right.
that are somehow granted. I don't know if they actually make anything, but they get these patents.
They
and
make
then,
money.
And then,
so
and then
make.
Big companies will go, well, here's a bunch of money to just go away. But
right.
podcasters are just dudes.
Right. And I don't know. You know, I think they just throw out a gill net and they're like, we're going for tuna, but if we catch a few dolphins in there, like, we don't really care. Like, their whole thing is just shotgun.
Yeah.
Like, we'll buy some patents and then we'll just send a letter to everybody
mm-hmm.
and we'll see if we get anything out of it. Now, they sent a letter to a lot of people. I know Mark Maron's got a letter. I'm not sure if you guys have gotten a letter.
I'm not sure.
I don't think so. But a lot of people have gotten like vague letters like that are sort of impending doom letters. But we've actually been sued, which is the next step past the
it's
letter.
It's a pretty ballsy step.
It is. I don't think they really thought it out because I think we're going to turn popular opinion against them. Not that patent trolls were great. You've besmirched a good name of patent trolling. Good day. But, you know, we talked about this in the past, and the plan is now that I have a trial date in Texas coming up in September, and the plan is get all the podcasts together, do the fundraising thing, use the money, beat the patent troll, and then have them go away. Because I'm assuming if they beat us or they win or we cave to them, which we're not planning on doing, I think it's going to open it up for them.
It's pretty insane. Like when you think about where you go, oh, that couldn't be a real thing. No one could actually be trying to own podcasting from, you know,
right.
an old, but it does seem to be that's what someone's trying to do.
Well, they at least want a percentage. And with me, they just said, give me $3 million.
Jesus.
And it's like, I don't have $3 million, but I wouldn't give it to you anyway, because you don't have anything to do with this endeavor. But their whole thing is they know how expensive it is to litigate these cases, and they hide behind that. And so they just go, well, you don't want us to sue you, do you? Because that's going to cost a ton of dough. And I'm in this position of, I mean, you know, even if they said, look, forget the $3 million. Let's just call it $250,000.
They really shouldn't get anything.
It's still like a weird, like, yeah, I could get a mortgage on my house and give you $250,000, but for what? Like, what are you doing? And then you really, without, you know, sounding overly dramatic, if I just said, look, here's the size of my business. Here's thousands of dollars. Please go away. They would use the same patent to go after every, you know, they just find the top 100 podcasts on iTunes, I imagine, and just go right down the line.
So this company had nothing to do with the creation of, I mean, I don't even know how, like, a podcast is essentially just a form of digital media.
Right.
So how do you patent a podcast and not, like, any recorded audio on the internet?
Well, they claim, and by the way, I just tell people all the time, look, if they can sue us and be successful, probably everything on YouTube and iTunes
Nothing is safe.
Everything's up
because
for grabs.
Because it potentially opens the door for, oh, well, that's really just like digital media, and that's most of what entertainment is. And not only that, but since television is digital.
Oh, they're coming after everybody. Their whole thing is a sequencer. And I'm a lay person here, but it's basically, we didn't invent podcasting and we didn't invent, new media or any of this stuff. We just have this sequencer thing, meaning when you have a Nerdist show come out on a Tuesday and then out on a Thursday and then a following, and then you go online and you see that it's in a certain order.
Oh,
that's us. That's our patent.
But that's most of the internet.
That's like
trying to patent that's like going, the idea of broadcasting television, I that's mine. I own that. Like, no court. How could any court ever say that's okay?
No, I don't believe that any court would ever say it's okay. I don't think they believe that any court would say it's okay.
Well, how did they get the patent?
It's like basically playlists. Well, I think what they do is they buy patents that were probably meant for something else. And then they go like, oh, but how can we shoehorn this into something else? Like, how can we make this work in another application? And they don't have to, all they have to do is have a vague resemblance of something that you may use or whatever, and then they send out their letters. Now, since the litigation is $1.5 million, then they get to go, well, now you don't want to do that, do you?
Mm-hmm.
And then you go, well, nobody wants to do that. And they go, good. Let's see what kind of deal we can work out here.
So it almost sounds like the mafia, like the old mafia days. Like, you wouldn't want a brick to fly through this window, would you?
Yeah. No, well, I mean, if you think about it, most of or a lot of things are sort of loosely based on the mafia. I mean, the IRS is sort of, hate to have to send you to prison
right.
for not paying us.
I can't pay my bills if you send me to prison.
Well, we can do it.
It's not our
right.
problem.
So everything is sort of, in this country, they're the earners, and then there's the people who sort of get in between the earners and try to wet their beak.
Well, I know the patent trollery is a real issue, and I know that Obama spoke about it last year and said that we needed legislation that prevented this kind of thing from happening, because especially with the explosion of media and all these new territories and technology, and you know, it does. I feel like a court would have to say, like, all right, look, this is the way people are making things now. You can't retroactively buy some, you know, even sort of related idea and horn it into this and try to own media. Like, I feel like some judge somewhere is going to be like, are you fucking kidding me? How could you possibly...
Yeah, I really do feel like 50% of the cases that come before almost any judge in this world, not, you know, talking about, you know, vehicular manslaughter, but these kinds of cases are based on, are you fucking kidding me? But does the person who you're saying, are you fucking kidding me, do they want to go through the one-year process and the $1.5 million and the trips back and forth to Texas with right. the legal team and the conference calls and the emails, or do you just want to cash out? You know what I'm saying?
But if anyone gives in, then it makes their case stronger.
Well, it certainly does, and it certainly gives them momentum, and I have no idea why I'm the only one who's actually been sued right now, but I can tell you that they're not stupid. They know what podcasting is. I imagine they're just going to go down the iTunes list and just start suing everybody who ranks anywhere up on the iTunes list.
Just even your soul, you just kind of go, that can't be allowed. How could that be allowed? Isn't it so obvious happening?
The problem is the way our society's been set up. It's not going to be, they can't win. I can't imagine they'd win. Like, you know, if they wanted me to testify, I don't even know what I would say. I just go, I record a file and put it up on iTunes. Like, I don't know what you want me to tell you. I've never seen any of these people. I don't know what this patent is. But what to get to that point, it's $1 million+, and that's the plan. So what we're attempting to do, and it's kind of a good story, and I think it's kind of like a very American story, is get all the people in the podcast community together to ask their audience to support this. We're going to use every penny of it to fight. Whatever's left will go to, you know, Kids Without Braces, or, you know, Make-A-Wish Foundation, or like whatever we want to put it toward. But it's all going to fight these guys. And then once we beat them, I can't imagine them coming back for round two.
I mean, because if by some weird chance they win, it could compromise, like a lot of podcasts would just go away because most people would be like, well, I can't pay you, you know.
I have this theory, because back to your mafia theory, which is, they probably have a sliding scale, meaning they're going to charge, you know, they're going to sue iTunes for this much and Google for that much and Chris Hardwick and Mark Maron for this much, but guy in the basement of his mom's house in Wisconsin, we're going to give you a break. But either way, there'll be some, give us 20% of what you're bringing in,
yeah,
and we'll be your partner.
I mean, the crazy thing about it, though, is that it's not that... In general, it's not like podcasting makes so fucking much money that, I mean, I guess, look, it's awful, but I can see if, you know, if I were a patent troll and I was like, oh, I'm going to go after Adobe, or I'm going to go after Amazon, right, I wouldn't think, I'm going to go after people who basically just buy really cheap recording equipment and record some things and then put it up for free. It would never occur to me I'm going to go after those people. I would go after the big sort of faceless corporations.
Let me add, in acoustically unsound environments.
I know.
Hello.
This is the room they've given us at midnight. This, by the way, is the worst kind of room to record in. Half the room is brick and the floor is concrete.
Oh.
So and the ceilings aren't low, so it is the worst.
Again, I don't want to be pejorative here, but Raffles' stall is nicer than this dump. I fucking mean it.
Well, you have to keep that Pegasus happy if you want on command.
Shit accurately and on command. So what we've asked everyone to do is just go to fundanything.com. It's right at the top of the thing, and you donate what you can, and it's all going to go to fight the trolls.
I mean, you know, if in donating it sort of feels like, hey, this is fucked up and wrong, remember that the whole situation is fucked up and wrong. I mean, like, if it feels like, why do I have to pay money for this? It's like, exactly. You shouldn't have to pay money for this. Someone is basically trying to, you know, for lack of a better word, steal money that they don't deserve.
No, yes, yes, and yes. Yeah, no, I'm the same way. Like, I'll never break even. I've already paid $50,000 to attorneys to try to get the venue moved from Texas. Just they work in a small town in Texas that's like favorable to them, so judges and that kind of stuff.
Doesn't a lot of patent trollery come out of this? Come out of Texas or come out of?
Yeah, it's basically, you know, these guys are lawyers and they're out of Manhattan, but they hang a shingle in. Where in Texas is that? I'm looking at my guy. Well, we'll figure out the name of it. But they hang their shingle up in Texas. Their attorney's fees, they are attorneys. So they don't charge themselves that much. They do pro bono work for themselves. And they have the judges and the juries it's big business for the town, sure. Essentially. So they work out of a town. Well, what my people are saying is my business isn't in Texas. Is it Beaumont? I heard it was another town for some reason.
Good job, Blaster Girl.
Good job, Blaster Girl. Yeah. Either way, why should I go to Beaumont, Texas to fight this thing? And why should it even take place in Beaumont, Texas? So
it sort of feels like it should be in a different venue in the interest of fairness.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to come to somebody's backyard where they're on a first name basis with the judge.
You shouldn't have to go to the place that issued the thing because you know they already think it's the way it should be.
Yeah.
So you should go to a completely neutral, even if you had to go to Nebraska to just be in a neutral space,
right?
To let someone who has no interest in any of it.
Right. So $50,000 later, we're arguing over where the venue is. It's one of these things where it's like, you know, people just say to me like, oh my God, that must drive you insane. And I'm like, I can't think about it. If I thought about it all day,
crazy,
I just start going insane. But literally, haven't even figured out where we're going, and I'm $50,000 out of pocket.
So do we have information on when the patent was filed, and why was it only filed? Why was it only recently where someone was like, oh, I should own that now?
I think they filed it in 08, or they purchased it in 08. I can't recall. I have been shielding myself from a lot of this information, much like you know, a survivor of the Holocaust who just did not want to go back and take that tour of Auschwitz. You know, like I don't want to know. Just tell me who to write the checks to, and we'll do it as fast as we can, and we'll get through this. But they've done this to a number of businesses. It's just podcasting is now on their.
But the problem is that podcasting is sort of a gateway, as we said before, and so it feels like if they're able to get away with it, it could be crippling for just digital media in general. I mean, like you cannot own a medium.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, without sounding wildly cynical, how long do you think the man, and when I say the man, I mean like lawyers, the beak wetters, the people that don't create anything and don't do anything, but they get in between people who are trying to do things and go, hey, where's my cut? How long were they going to stand on the sidelines and watch people go off and do what they do ungoverned by them? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, so this whole podcasting thing and this new media thing and just being on the internet and just doing what we're doing and doing what others are doing, the guys who are the beak wetters are standing by going, what the fuck? My beak is bone dry. Like, how do I get involved with this? And you go, well, you get funny, get popular, get a following. And they're like, well, fuck that. My wife hates me. Right. Everyone hates me. How do I make money off of this? And this is the way they figured out to enter into this and to get their beaks wet and to make money off it. I mean, how long could you imagine the lawyers, the suits, sitting around watching the artists go out there and express
without
themselves.
Going, how can we get it? But, well, right. But I really hope this is something that, you know, like the Reddit community would embrace in the same way that they embrace the fight for against SOPA or you know, to keep net neutrality. Because again, this is a very similar situation where a body of individuals is trying to take advantage of something that's really unfair, and the effects could be the effects for digital media and creators could be pretty devastating.
I agree, and I also think it could be a nice watershed moment where a podcasting sort of was put on the map, because, you know, I had a good friend of mine get divorced, and he said to me, Jesus Christ, she wants $50,000 a month on her, like, spousal support. And I said, well, you know, you have arrived. When my parents got divorced, my dad didn't give 50 cents a month. So, like, you know you've arrived when you're getting sued by a patent troll. So I am flattered in my own ass backwards kind of way.
But beyond the handful of podcasts that are able to make some money, it's not just like, you know, what I hope people don't come away with is like, well, fuck those guys. They, you know, they're making money. They should, you know, it's like this, the idea of this is wrong. The idea of this is simply is unjust. And beyond
yes,
that,
agreed.
It will trickle down and affect basic, like just your entry level content creators. And I really do believe it's a gateway into other forms of media besides podcasting.
I do too. And so what I think is that hopefully we can take these lemons and make some lemonade out of it, which is, get some media behind us, get some popular opinion behind us, get sort of the guy who never heard of podcasting before. Now he's aware of this. He's aware of maybe never heard of patent trolls, maybe never heard of podcasting. Now here's the story. It's wrong on 1,000 different levels. It's not even a thing where you need to know about new media or podcasting or patent trolling. You just hear the story and you know it's wrong.
Even if I weren't a podcaster, it's the kind of thing that I would sit at home and be fucking mad about. Like, are you fucking? Because I haven't the idea of trying to profit off people in a shifty way when you didn't earn that.
Yes,
I mean, it'd be one thing if it was like, oh, well, there was this body of people, and they, you know, since day one, they created this medium. And everyone knows, like, this is just the thing that they created, and you should be, you know. Then you would kind of go, okay, well, I guess I. But to come in later, and beyond that, wouldn't this make a monopoly over a form of media? Like, even would antitrust laws even allow such a thing to exist? Because there's no, if you try to own all of podcasting.
Right.
Through a backdoor technology patent, there's no competition. So how is that not violating antitrust laws? I'm not a lawyer, so please, I'm sure you'll tell me why that would be the case.
I think what's happening for the first time in a weird way in our society is I feel like our government and Congress and even the president are chasing media and chasing technology and trying to kind of catch up to it, sort of trying to figure out what to do with it. You know, the internet just kind of landed on us and started going off in 1,000 different directions at once. And I feel like the government is going, what do we do with this thing? How do we regulate it? How do we tax it? What do we do? These questions come up all the time. And when it comes to things like patent trolling, you know, the notion that just a few years ago, just 10 years ago, hey, these guys are going to buy up patents and apply them to podcasting. Like, someone would say, what the fuck's a podcast?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so there's no way that anyone has a crystal ball in Congress. They have an old leather shoe that they just sniff for inspiration. So they're always going to be like a decade behind whatever sure. goes on. So these guys will do whatever they do. It kind of reminds me of like, it's sort of like when a new drug comes out. It's like when ecstasy came out. It's like, is it illegal? No. Why? Because it didn't exist.
Yeah.
And then a couple people OD or whatever, and then eventually, like, the government, like, catches up and goes, hey, this is illegal.
Yeah.
And some of that stuff you agree with and some of it you don't. When it comes to stuff like this, I think the government, Obama spoke about it, and there'll be bills passed and things like that. They will catch up to it eventually. We're just at the very beginning stages where they don't know what to do with it.
It feels like a part legal process, part criminal, part bullying. Like it feels very much parasitic, I guess. Mm-hmm. In the sense of,
well, nobody likes, I mean, I think it's very anti sort of just American, but human. Like, I have an agent and my agent makes 10%, but he gets me more than that.
That's when how that makes up, yeah,
his deal. So everyone goes, well, what about James Baby Doll Dixon? He's taking money and he's not telling jokes or showing up on Spike TV or whatever.
Well, he's
and
involved
I go,
in the process.
But he serves a function and a purpose. And I think we all agree on those people in our life. And also, I can choose to have him in my life or not in my life. This is a fourth party who's entered the fray and just says, pay me.
Well, I think part of the problem is that it's podcasting. And podcasting isn't a main, as much as we all know it is, it's not such a part of the cultural mainstream that people would go, we have to protect that, because I don't think they understand what the implications are and how big. Mm-hmm. Like, when it starts, if it worked, and as I said, gateway into other forms of media and digital media, and it started affecting that, then people would go, oh, that's why this was important. I think if it were, you know, I think a good analogy to make is, imagine if it was video games, if someone said, well, I have this patent here, and it says that, you know, I own the technology for any character that travels from point A to point B in a medium. Well, that's pretty much right. Every video game. Like, oh, so I own video games now.
Right.
And if the video games don't pay me, then video games are going to go away.
Right.
You know, then I think people would go, oh, fuck, we have to really get behind this then.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the problem is that it's just that, you know, mainstream people just think they don't either don't know what podcasting is, or it's like, well, who gives a shit? You know?
Right.
But they should give a shit. Because it will affect everything else sooner or later.
Well, and like everything, like, you know, sort of the old adage, when you see the guy steal the grape from the supermarket, and it's like, what's wrong? So what? They're big market. I took one grape. What's the big deal? It's like, the market will raise the price of grapes the more ones that you pluck off while you're heading to get a fun-sized sack of Ovaltine. They will... Someone ought to come up with one of those.
Is Ovaltine in fun-size sacks now?
Nah, I think so. Pretty sure. I got to check into it. I know Postum is. I don't know why Ovaltine wouldn't be. But the point is at some point, if you start making it expensive if you say every car manufactured that enters the United States must have an airbag... Well, the car companies aren't going to absorb that. They're going to go,
they're going to pass those costs on to the consumer.
Right. So eventually, if you hit up podcasts and you go, well, you need to pay us, you know, then the podcasts are going to go, well, you're going to have to subscribe to the podcast because I can't give away the podcast anymore because I have to pay these guys for the podcast. So
right.
Eventually, you'll have to pass it along like any technology or anything, really, or fold.
I just... hope, because I know the EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, is funding a separate campaign mm-hmm. as well. I hope that enough internet savvy people sort of lift this message up and upvote it enough so that people understand that it is a very unjust thing that is happening, and that it would be so crazy if they succeeded.
But yet a great story if the millions of people who maybe didn't have a voice before just sort of united together and then beat these guys down. You know, there's a chance here for. At least a after school special or movie of the week type story where you go, wow, that's awesome. These big scary guys from Texas sued us, and all the geeks and all the people and all the everyone that from the internet, everyone band together. And I think it's a great story, and it's very it's very Independence Day as well, the movie. But I mean, it's like you do your podcast, I do my podcast. There's podcasts that are about politics. There's podcasts about home improvement, cars. There's every topic under the sun, and everyone doesn't agree on everything all the time, but there's one thing we can all unite and agree on, which is it should be free.
Well, I do believe that, you know, the internet has some dark places, and there are some, you know, there are some definitely cruel people online. I do think, however, as a whole, the internet does not tolerate injustice, and it does not like bullies.
Right.
And I think when you look at it through that lens, that is what's happening, and that's what I hope the internet can understand and get behind. Because, you know, it's same as you. When, you know, many times people have said to me, you know, like, oh, you know, you why don't you charge for the podcast, or why don't you make it a subscription, or why not do a premium model? And I'm like, no, I always want this shit to be free. I mean, this whole form of media didn't exist before a handful of years ago.
Right.
And now it's a real platform where people can, you know, you can get educational resources. You can get here. This type of long form chat that we all do didn't exist anywhere in any great capacity in the 90s, you know, like before the past decade.
Right.
So it really has kind of changed the way people consume things, and it's amazing, and it's amazing to be a part of it. And it fucking pisses me off that someone's coming like, I'm going to make money off those guys. I think I can make money off those guys without, you know, by legal bullying tactics.
Yeah, well, that's where we're at, and people always ask me if I'm surprised, and I'm never surprised. I mean, are you surprised at any injustice you see? No, there's good people out there, and mostly good people out there, and then there's a handful of bad people that try to fuck it up for the lion's share of good people, and these guys are them. And I like the idea of fighting these guys. If, you know, if I was Mark Cuban and I had that money in the ashtray of my Lexus, I still wouldn't give it to them purely on principle.
You would give the same amount of money to, like, legally obliterate the operation so that it could never happen again. You would probably give, if you had that much money, you would give 10 times the amount to make sure that it would never happen again before you would give a dollar by surrendering and to something.
It's so morally bankrupt, you know, what they're doing. And so for me, I'm not very Pollyanna-ish, but every time somebody says, oh man, you must be miserable, I was always like, well, first off, I was miserable before this, number one. So I'm more miserable now. But secondly, I feel like people are good. I feel like when given the choice, they do the right thing. And I feel like this is going to be an opportunity for us, the podcast community, to let the world know how powerful we are. And if we do it right and we synchronize, coordinate, and unite, we can do it.
I wonder, I really wonder what if these guys even really understand if what they're doing is wrong. Do you think they know, do you think they go like, hey, we know we're fucking these people over, but there's a lot of money? Or do you think there's something in their heads that goes, no, this is right. We are entitled to this. Of course we are. Why wouldn't we be?
No, to be fair to them, I think what they do is they're Gordon Gekko. You know what I mean? They don't look at taking a business and gutting a business and selling. They just look at it profit and loss, you know? And they look at it this way. If you can buy a patent and buy that patent for, $1 million and it'll earn you $5 million, then you're successful. Then that's your job. Then you're being successful and you can get a vacation home in Maui. But I found that most people who do things that you may find to be unscrupulous in business or even morally, in any venue, they don't look at it as who's being victimized or is this right or is this wrong. They just look at it as this is my business, you know? I mean, almost like a casino, you know? I don't think casinos think about, gee, there's people that shouldn't be gambling.
You know what, though? I mean, at least with a casino, you know, like, you are aware of the risks. Yeah. Going in. And if you can't handle those risks, that's not their fault.
Yeah.
I wouldn't blame. That's not the same as basically saying, you know, I'm going to go after this industry that I didn't create and had nothing to do with, because, and then I'm going to try to bleed these people dry for whatever money they have.
No, I concur. I'm just to answer you on a sort of just moral level.
You don't think they don't understand?
Well, first off, I don't think they want to understand. I think they're doctors that get their degree and then go to Guatemala and do pro bono work on kids with cleft palates, and then they're ones who go to Beverly Hills and do boob jobs. I think they both sleep the same at night, unfortunately. I think that when the guy's looking at himself in the mirror who just finished a boob job, he doesn't see anything any differently than the guy who has no borders and goes and helps the impoverished kids of the world. I wish that guy would look in the mirror and see a monster, and I wish the other guy would look in the mirror and see a hero. Unfortunately, I don't think we're wired that way. I think these guys are basically like guys who run hedge funds. You know, they get money and they go, how do I make $10 million into $100 million? And that's about it.
Yeah, but we really have to let them know that it's not okay, because honestly, every time it works is another time where it's like they're going to fuck something up that's really important.
Yeah, they'll be empowered by that. And again, because of the absence of soul and conscience, they just go, hey, if this worked over here, it'll work over there, and thus the legal defense fund, and thus the fight, and thus the unite.
Now, I'm not saying anything. I'm not making any allegations, and I'm not trying to be slanderous in any way. But it does seem peculiar that a lot of these types of situations happen in an area of the country, in the same area of the country, at least from what I've read. Now, I'm not suggesting anything, but it does seem weird. It does kind of give you pause to kind of go, is this on the level totally, or is this a coincidence, or...
Well, you know, they're not in the business of, you know, equity and fairness and even-keeledness. They want to give themselves every advantage they can give themselves. You know, they're basically... like, you know, a Formula One team, and there's no rules. So they're going to do everything they can to make that car go faster.
It's probably the same kind of thing where you go, and the internet does rage against this kind of thing too, where you go, how did that billionaire only pay $15,000 in taxes last year? Like, oh, well, hey, look at all the paperwork. It's all on the level.
He's
like,
going to do everything within his power. They're going to give them, they're going to give themselves every advantage and every opportunity to win. That's why they've set up where they've set up. That's how they work. And I wouldn't expect anything less from them, because it's not like they're ever stopping and going, geez, when I was a junior in high school, is this what I thought I'd be doing?
Well, I just think that, you know, much in the same way that, you know, frivolous lawsuits have to be controlled, that this sort of patent trollery has to be controlled in the same way, because everything would get fucking flipped upside down if all of a sudden a bunch of crazy patents where people didn't have any connection to those things, but they're like, oh, I'm going to start shaking everyone down.
Right.
Like it would flip the country upside down if patent trollery went crazy.
Well, again, there's a cost to it. I mean, you think it's Samsung's problem, or it's Sony's problem, or it's Fox's problem, or CBS's problem. It is their problem for now. It will be your problem later in the form of another commercial that they have to run to offset the legal fees.
This is so much closer to civilians, though,
sure,
than faceless companies, and it will trickle down and affect just regular people sooner or later. I mean, this is a bold move into, you know, again, stepping away from the big corporations into the, you know, and going after a dude with a, you know, with a pie. Like, it's the civilian, it's very close to civilian culture.
Chris, I'm just a dude with, I'm a regular dude with a podcast, Pegasus, and a dream, you know what I mean?
But and a grizzly bear gynecologist. I'm just a regular guy.
I grew up in North Hollywood, you know, just me and young Raffles, you know, just kind of strafing the neighbor's house and, you know, pooping on kids with big wheels and stuff back then. And just a regular dude, you know, and, you know, to see them come after me. And again, the money I make doing podcasting puts oats in the mouth of Raffles.
So we have to stop their Pegasus from shitting on.
That's right.
The podcast and buildings.
That is
in
correct.
Industry. Well, I hope. So where can people go?
You go to fundanything.com and you can just donate. It'll be right there at the top. And we have some perks and some, you know, come watch the podcast and stuff like that. And we're asking folks like you and other podcasters to sort of go, oh, we'll toss in a perk, like if you want to come out to a live show or get an autograph or do something like that. And some of it's just donate, and some of it is, hey, for $25 you can get a t-shirt.
I mean, it is, if you know, if anyone has enjoyed podcasting, enjoyed free podcasting, and you know it with any degree of regularity, it's worth throwing a couple bucks at it to, I mean, it's the best, it is the best way to support this medium by protecting it from being dismantled.
I would say that's a pretty direct connection. Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, it's not like a, you know, I just want $50,000 extra dollars. It's like, no, this money all goes to the legal defense. It all goes to hopefully stop this kind of frivolous patent trollery from happening.
Yes, it all shall. And, you know, honestly, I hope we can raise enough. I don't know if we can. So either way, if it pays for half of it or two thirds of it or three quarters of it, whatever it is, it'll be that much closer. It'll get us.
And then also not just donating money, but also just raising awareness and trying to let the community know this is something that does, you know, whether or not you think it does, it will affect you sooner or later. And it's something that you should take very seriously.
I agree.
Any other big news? Any other news? Any other?
No, I'm doing a new show on Spike where I'm busting contractors, and I got a book coming out in May, and other than that, just plugging along on the podcast.
What's the busting the contractors here?
Oh, it's Catch a Contractor. It's go to people's houses who've been screwed over by contractors, take a little tour, hear the sob story, find out that, you know, the guy's not returning their phone calls, haven't spoke to him in 6 months, go set up a sting house, get the guy to come over for for some toll house cookies.
To catch a predator, but with contractors.
Right. And then, you know, sort of get the guy in the headlock, bring him back to the house, and get him to finish the job.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Have you shot a bunch of episodes?
Yeah, I've shot, like, I think 11 or 12 of them.
Has any contractors ever said, like, I'm going to go get my gun in the car, and then I'm going to shoot you full of holes?
Normally, when people are going to the car to get a gun, they just go, I'm going to go get my cell phone, and then they come back with a gun. But, no, I am scared.
Oh, they don't tell you. Could you please wait here? I'm going to come back
get my gun
and fire at you.
I have had, like, some of the homeowners, like, where you go, like, well, what kind of guy was this guy? Like, when you're looking through his house, like, oh, you know, big dude, all filled with tattoos, kind of volatile. So and it's always like, all right, that'll be fun springing out on, you know, jumping out of a cupboard when he comes into the kitchen. yelling surprise. But it's interesting because it's such a weird emotional journey. These people have had their houses taken apart, haven't seen the guy for 6 months, and they drag him back. You know, the most uncomfortable part is when the woman who lives at the house starts screaming at the guy for an hour when we drag him back to the half-finished living room. It's oh my God, is it uncomfortable.
Do any of these guys apologize, or are they like, just please shut up so I can just, I'll just do what I didn't do and then I want to disappear?
It always cracks me up because they go, look, I come back to finish the job. And I always go, it'd be like standing in front of the judge going, hey, I'm in the courtroom, aren't I? And it's like, no, we tackled you on your neighbor's lawn.
Wait, do these guys have to sign releases to be on the show?
Yeah, me too.
Why would they do that? I always wonder that when I watch Cops and Cheaters, and I'm like,
At a certain point, when that shirtless, toothless guy was having his face shoved in the side of a cruiser, a police cruiser, someone had to stop and go, "Can you please sign here?" Yeah. Oh yeah, sure. Hang on a second.
Date too.
Can you guys just give me? I just need my right hand back for a sec.
You know, because we tell them, look, we're going to do this with you or without you. So if you want to come back, then you'll look like a halfway decent guy.
Sure.
If you want to just run out the front door and jump in your truck, you can do that, but they're going to pursue legal. I'm going to get my patent troll guys on your ass. They're going out. So they're going to find you and see you in court. So I really just tell, like, I would tell the guys, look, you walk out right now, you're going to be thinking about this. You're going to be, every time you pick up the phone or go to the mailbox, you're going to be worried about a summons or this, you know, homeowner calling you. Or you could just come back with us right now, do this house, you know, finish over the next few days and just walk away. Like, it will be done with it. Like, and it is a weird thing that I've wrestled with my whole life, which is that feeling of, like, I'd really like just to leave right now. But
yeah,
if I stay for 2 days, then I can leave and never think about it again.
Yeah.
And like, you can see the guy's gears kind of turning where I go, just come back with us now, finish it now, own up to it. And they usually do.
Adam Carolla, fighting injustice across multiple platforms.
That's me. That's me. Me and Raffles.
I'm so, so, so sorry that this has happened. I am relieved that it's not happening to me at the moment, but it could, and that's why it's important. And also, just to help support, I mean, you know, it's this whole world that has opened up has been amazing, and it's certainly it's not just for the creators but also the people consuming the content, and I hope that we can protect it. I hope we can protect it from bullshittery.
I want to thank you for your help. I really
absolutely
do. And
yeah,
and everyone out there, thanks in advance.
All right, Adam Carolla, nice to see you. You say mahalo at the end.
Uh-huh.
And we say enjoy your burrito, so I guess enjoy your Hawaiian burrito. Enjoy your mahalo.
I'll take it.
All right. The end.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Once upon a beat. Remember those stories and fables that would capture your imagination and you couldn't wait to see how they would unfold? And now, when you read them as an adult, you think some of these old tales could use a fresh spin. We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remix, and reimagine for the kids in your life today. Join me,
DJ Fuse,
and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, as we spin up new tales in the New Kids and Family Podcast, Once Upon a Beat.
Yeah.
Wondry and Tinkercast are bringing you a jam-packed, music-filled weekly party where hip-hop and fables meet. It's Once Upon a Beat. Follow Once Upon a Beat on the Wondry app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now by joining Wondry Plus in the Wondry app or Wondry Kids Plus in Apple Podcasts.
Once Upon a Beat.